بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We have with us hadith number 103. So we would like someone to read it for us, please. Yes, brother, over there.
Anas reported that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, Abu Bakr and Umar used to begin their prayers by Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
One question before we continue. Do I say peace and blessing be upon him or Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? I personally prefer to use the Arabic salutation because the translation itself is not correct. When you say Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so they say peace and blessing. But a salat from Allah is not blessing, it is praising. Because Allah is mentioning the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam among his court in the seventh heaven. So Allah is actually praising the Prophet and sending his peace upon him. So I would prefer, if you would like to translate it, to say peace and praise of Allah be upon him. But if you say it in Arabic, it would be much more convenient because this is the actual salat we offer to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam.
I pray with Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and with Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman. And I never heard anyone of them reciting Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim loudly. And in another narration for Muslim, I prayed behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and with Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman and used to begin the prayers by Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen and would not recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, neither in the beginning nor at the end of the recitation.
Very well. The hadith is referring to reciting loud the Basmala, which is the short form of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, before reciting Surah Al-Fatiha or any other given surah. And the majority of scholars consider reciting the Fatiha, not loudly, generally speaking, consider reciting the Fatiha before, that is, let me rephrase that. The majority of scholars consider reciting Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim before the Fatiha to be recommended, mustahab. With the exception of Imam Malik, who says that this is not preferred or recommended at all. And reciting it loudly has been only recommended or has only been recommended by Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i. So the Shafi'i school is the one that you always pray behind them and say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And also they cascade this to all of the prayers or actually all the surahs of the Quran. So if they want to recite قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, they say بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. And whether this is acceptable or not, it's an issue of dispute. And whenever we have dispute, what to do? Go back and refer to the Qur'an and to the Sunnah. And how do we know the Sunnah? By referring to the hadith of the companions. We weren't there. And we don't have anything that the Prophet said, say or do not say. Anas ibn Malik accompanied the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam for how many long years? 10. And then he accompanied Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman for about 25 years. And none of them ever recited Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim before al-Fatiha. What does this tell you? It definitely and surely tells you that it is not part of the Sunnah. With all due respect to the Shafi'i Madhab and the school of thought, one of the greatest schools of thought in Islam, and Imam Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i al-Muttalibi, may Allah be pleased with him and have mercy on his soul, one of the great Imams of Islam, without any doubt. However, no one is perfect, and no one's narration or rulings can be blindly accepted except the Prophet ﷺ. All the rest we have to cross-reference it. We have to cross-examine it with the Quran and Sunnah. If it applies and goes okay with the Quran and Sunnah, we take it. Otherwise, we reject it. And this is what Abu Hanifa himself said, may Allah be pleased with him and have mercy on his soul. Abu Hanifa said, if we get the hadith from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, it is over our heads. Meaning, we go nowhere else other than the hadith. And if we have the ruling and the verdict from the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we take from their sayings and nothing else comes ahead. What does he mean? Meaning that if they differ, we take one of theirs, but we don't take anything out of what they had taught us and said to us. Then he said, but if we get anything other than the Prophet and his companions, meaning the Tabi'een or the other types of scholars, he says, they are men and we are men. What does that mean? That means that they have no holiness to what they say because they're normal people. The Prophet's teachings is sacred, alayhi salatu wasalam. The companions, when they say something and agree upon it, it is part of the deen. If they differ, we have to choose one of them. But we cannot go against what they have said. It has to be among one of them. But the others, they can be right and they can be wrong. And likewise, when we come to the issue of reciting Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim before the Fatiha, Anas is stating it clearly. Neither the Prophet nor Abu Bakr, Umar or Uthman had done this, therefore we do not do it. And the question that may arise, what about if I pray behind an imam who follows the Shafi'i madhab and he reads this, what should I do? Nothing. Listen and pray. Because he believes that this is part of the Sunnah and you are a follower, you have no say to him. And therefore your prayer is valid, inshallah. And there's nothing wrong in what you have done. We move on to one of the great chapters of Islam, and that is the prostration of forgetfulness, or known as sujudu as-sahu. And we have a number of hadiths with us, yet before we go through the hadiths, I'd like to bring it to your attention that the sahu is done, or the forgetfulness prostration, is done for one of three. Either you subtract from your prayer, meaning you miss something out, or you add something in your prayer, or you're in doubt whether you did or you did not. And this you did or you did not has also two sections. We will come to talk about them. When to prostrate for forgetfulness? There are certain situations we prostrate before salam, concluding the prayer. And there are certain locations and situations where we prostrate after the salam and we offer another salam. And how do we know this? By following the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And the sunnah that covers this are found in the hadith of Abu Hurairah, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Buhayna, the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with them. And we will come to mention some of these hadiths and the things related to them with the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the first hadith is a long one reported in Sahih al-Imam Muslim. Yes, Kareem.
Ibn Sirin rahimahullah reported Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu as saying, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led us in one of the two evening prayers, that is either Zuhr or Asr, and gave salutations after two rakahs, and went towards a piece of wood which was placed to the direction of the Qibla in the mosque, leaned on it, looking as if he were angry, putting his right hand over the left and crossing his fingers together. Abu Bakr and Umar were among the people and they were too afraid to speak to him. And the people came out in haste, saying, the prayer has been shortened. However, among them was a man called Dhul-Yadayn, who said, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, has the prayer been shortened or have you forgotten? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I didn't forget and it wasn't shortened. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the companions, is it as Dhul-Yadayn is saying? They said, yes. He then offered two more rakahs and ended the prayer by salam, then said takbir and prostrated similar to his prostration or longer, and lifted his head, then gave takbir and prostrated again similar or longer than the first one, then said takbir and raised his head. They asked the narrator if he had offered another salam. He, the narrator, then says, I was told that Imran bin Hussein, may Allah be pleased with him, said that he concluded it with salam.
Is widely known among the jurors, among the fuqaha, to be hadith Dhul-Yadayn. And Dhul-Yadayn means the man with the two arms or the two hands. So what's so special? Don't we all have two hands? They say that he had an extra length in his hands, so he was known to be the man with the two hands. We have a short break, so stay tuned and inshallah we'll be right back.